Wake up call.
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. Hour number two. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. But we also looking to hook up with Hondo Carpenter, Sports Illustrated, covering the Las Vegas Raiders as they are focusing on the teams in the AFC West. Yesterday we did the Chargers. That's a team that should be competitive for a playoff spot in a very, very loaded AFC. Maybe even give the Chiefs a little run. We'll see, right? But the Raiders were a team that need to bounce back from playoff appearance to 6-11 last year in the first year of Josh McDaniels. In a year in which John Gruden was fired, they were under an interim head coach, they still managed to find the way to the postseason. Last year was a team that was in almost every game, had leads evaporate in the second half, had traded for Devontae Adams, and now we'll be going with another quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. And as I was talking about in hour number one, this is a Jimmy Garoppolo that worked with the Patriots, was on the Patriots under Josh McDaniels, and let's see if those two can kind of have a relationship. The Derek Carr thing I thought would work. I thought that Josh McDaniels and Derek Carr would work out. Well, it did not, and now he's playing for the New Orleans Saints. But it is still a team with some holes that they didn't fill this offseason. There's still a team that I don't know if we're talking about a team that can be punched into sort of the bottom end of the wild card race. That's the thing about the NFL. It's quirky enough that if you can just get around a certain win number with a couple of weeks left, you might be able to jump into the conversation and jump into the race. But I don't know. It's so loaded. But Josh McDaniels is working on trying to repair a fallen legacy of being one of the hottest names in 2009 to a guy that had a losing season last year. Remember, he started 6-0 with the Denver Broncos. But since then, he's only managed 11 wins in a half a season there and a full season here. It's really not going the way people anticipate. And it's okay to miss out on somebody, to think that somebody is going to be the next great thing and then turn out not to be the next great thing. Being a head coach in the NFL isn't for everybody. It isn't anybody's strength. I like the fact that, you know, Vic Fangio, for example, when the Broncos hired Vic Fangio, he had been in the league 33, 34 years. He got hired to be a head coach. It really wasn't his thing. He didn't take that next step, but he was so respected as a defensive coordinator. He's now with the Dolphins, I believe. That's what you go back to what you know how to do, right? If you're a pastry chef, for example, and you get to be lead chef, maybe you go, I don't really want to be lead chef. I actually like making pastries. So maybe that is McDaniels. He's better as a coordinator than a head coach, but we will see this upcoming season in his second year. Let's go to the Progressive Insurance guest line. Round out your protection with life, phone, and pet health insurance at progressive.com. Hondo Carpenter joins us from Sports Illustrated. How are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
You got it. Let's go back to 6-11. 6-11, but they were in a lot of games. What were a couple of reasons why they couldn't close?
First of all, if their defense had been arrested for being an NFL quality side of the ball, there would not have been enough evidence to convict them, number one. Number two, there were issues, even though they scored a lot of points, there were just issues between the way Derek Carr wanted to do things and the way that Josh McDaniels' offense is predicated. There was no animosity, no anger, no hatred between the two. It just was not a good marriage. But the reason the Raiders lost last year was not Derek Carr. It was the defense. It was horrible.
Is the defense better, or is it just Max Crosby and a couple of other guys?
No, it's exponentially better, and let me explain how, because you know you need to understand, yeah, there's some good draft picks, but they went out and they knew, and I've got a long form article coming next week about how they got to where they are now, but they knew this defense, they weren't getting turnovers. They weren't able to find a spark when they needed a spark. It's why they had so many leads and lost them. So they targeted two key people in free agency this year. They desperately wanted Robert Spillane. He was a middle linebacker out of Pittsburgh. He's a guy that the last six games of last year, he played every down on defense and special teams for the Steelmen. They wanted his toughness. They wanted a Max Crosby in the linebacker line and then in the defensive back. So they were able to go get him. They outspent the Steelers, who wanted to keep him, and they were able to get him. The second thing was they really loved Marcus Epps. Here's a guy from the, you know, from the Eagles. Again, not, maybe not Max Crosby with, you know, his mannerisms, but he approached the game the same way. The toughness, all of it, just like Spillane. And they went out in Philadelphia because Howie's done a great job drafting. Even though that they loved Epps, they were able to let him go because there were some other people to take his spots. And the Raiders were snatched him up immediately. So now you have it. And then they go and they add a Marcus Peters. And then the other thing they did is they desperately wanted to, in a mentality that we've got to be a defensive that forces turnovers. We've got to make the big plays. All offseason, that has been the topic. All offseason, that's been discussed. And they are creating turnovers with reckless abandon. They've come in this thing. They dominated San Francisco in the game and in the second joint practice, the same with the Rams, and won the first with both of them, just it wasn't as dominant. And everything that they've wanted to do, they've done. The Raiders have found a defense. Now, am I saying they're going to be top 10? No, I don't think they'll be top 10. They don't have to be. They've got to get into the top 15 to be able to stop some people. I still think they're going to be much better, but they're very young, and you know as well as anyone, Tony, you cannot rely on young players. They've got to learn how to go from being a pup to a dog. There's plenty of pups, but they've got some dogs now.
Yeah. Hondo Carpenter joining us from Sports Illustrated. So I last time we talked, well, last preview that we talked last year, we talked about McDaniels because I was familiar with his time in Denver, and I remember how he came in, had the Napoleonic complex. But when I talked to you last year, you said, look, here's a guy who learned from his mistakes, and the players really, really liked him. Well, 6-11 season later, do they still have that same level of admiration for the coach?
No, they love him now.
Love him.
They liked him last year. They love him now. Josh McDaniels, you know what? Everyone who talked about the way he was in Denver, he was arrogant. He was a young kid that had great success. And who of us in our life that have had success, Tony, like you and I, haven't been humbled?
Yeah.
Who of us, you know, and so he came away from that. He went back to his roots. He knows he's not Belichick. Doesn't want to be, but his dad's probably one of the best high school coaches in the history of our country. He went back to being more like his dad. He was humbled. The players love him. Now, you know this, Tony, because you've done this a long time. When you're a beat writer and you cover a team, there is what's said at the podium, and then there's what's told you off the record when you're away from the facility. Maybe you're out to eat and you're with a player, or you're talking on the phone or texting. And the thing that is amazing is they'll come. I mean, some of the star players coming up to me and like, man, I got to tell you what, I don't know where these people are getting. We love Josh. And I wrote about this last year. I wrote a long form article that people can Google, Inside the Divorce Between the Raiders and Derek Carr. One of the things that Josh McDaniels did that won the team is he is known for his brutal film sessions. And there was a time when he just went off on himself. What a terrible call. I screwed this up. You guys deserve an apology from me. And like kept showing it just like he does with a player.
That's
interesting. That earned their respect. But the other thing was, is previous to Josh getting here, if there was criticism of Derek, it was done in private. And even though the players loved Derek and still do, everybody was put under the radar in front of everybody. It wasn't that you're a first-round draft pick or you're a captain or you're the coach. Nobody got handled with kid gloves. And I think that I know for a fact, because several players told me about it, that meant a lot to them. And when he called himself out multiple times or would call out anyone, guys appreciated that. And I can tell you this, I've been covering football for decades. And Josh McDaniels has this team in his hand. They love him. They respect him. They trust him. And to me, that's something. Last year, they liked him, but now they love him. And I think that's something that's going to bode well for the Raiders.
They got a minute left, but I wanted to the Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr comparison. What do they do different? What do they do similar?
Well, first of all, Jimmy is not only knows the system backwards and forward, he buys into it. Another thing that Jimmy does well is he gets rid of the ball quickly. Derek liked to hold on to it a little bit longer, and that's not the way this team is built. Josh wants the ball 1, 2, 3 thrown, and that isn't 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi. It isn't seconds. And Jimmy knows that. Jimmy operates this system exactly the way that Josh wants it to. You know, Jimmy's not a guy that's going to throw the ball 80 yards like Derek, but he's going to get the ball where it needs to be in this offense, and he's going to move it, and he runs it exactly the way Josh wants it, which is what they had to have.
Always good talking to you, my friend. Thank you so much. We'll catch up with you during the season, my man.
Thanks, buddy.
You got it. Hondo Carpenter, great stuff on the Raiders. Oh, man, that just to listen to that story about how Josh McDaniels was overly critical of himself in a meeting. If you go back to the 2009 Tony D, I would have said that. No, I wouldn't have bought that story if that happened in a Broncos camp at all. If somebody told me he had done that back when he was 33 or whatever he was back then, I would have said no chance. Now, everybody on this team is like, what is happening? What's happening here? What is he doing? Why is he doing it this way? Why? What is he doing? Like, seriously, it was a big cauldron of like, okay, like right away, he was like, I'm getting rid of Jay Cutler. And people were like, all right, but you know what? You're the hottest coaching candidate.
Yep.
And then he was like, well, I want to do this. All right. And then after a while, people were like, okay, well, we'll see. And then they went 6-0 and everything was like, this is working. This is great. When you go 8-8, then it was like, uh-oh. But that's a great story. That is a great story. And we'll see what the Raiders do this upcoming season. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb, and we'll continue to preview them. But we got also, we'll talk Jonathan Nat Taylor in hour number 3 as we continue along. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb on your Wednesday. I kind of had to pause and remember it was Wednesday.
It was so long ago.
Yeah, right? But it is, and it's the good, the bad, and the dumb. That I don't forget. So what is the good of the day?
The good of the day, I got to give it to the Memphis Tigers marketing team.
Memphis Tigers marketing, okay.
Yes. So for their football season, their kickoff, they have a game September 2nd against Bethune Cookman.
Right.
If you bought, or if you're to buy a $60 ticket to their home opener,
right,
and if the Tigers win, then you will get a free ticket to the next game.
Really?
And this will continue for each home game until the team loses.
Okay, so if I buy a ticket, a $60 right. ticket for game one,
yes.
they win. Then they go, here's your ticket to the second home game.
Which is against
Navy. And I go
Navy.
To that. Okay, then I go to that, and they win.
Yes.
Then they go, here's your ticket to the next home game.
Right.
But I don't have to buy anymore. I bought one ticket, and as long as they win at home, I get to see them at home.
Just keep going.
Sign me up. I would do that.
Yeah,
if I
why
lived
not,
in the
right?
Memphis area. That would be cool.
I remember a promotion like that in Houston with at the time they were not affiliated with the Astros, but it was the Sugarland Skeeters.
Yeah, sure.
Who are now the Sugarland Space Cowboys. But they would do something like that during the summertime because I mean it's, you know, stadium small, it's hot. You know, it's
yeah.
a minor league team. So they would do that. Like, hey, you know, hey, they won today. Claim your free ticket. But it wasn't a, hey, if we keep winning, you just keep getting free tickets. It was, hey, if they win today, you get a free ticket to come back again anytime you want in the month of August or something like that.
What was, you have a good memory on this. What was that Padres ticket deal? Did that have, was that similar?
Oh.
A few years ago. Do you remember that? Where they were
yeah.
like, buy tickets and
was that
keep
like a
coming
COVID,
to games.
Like a COVID. No, it wasn't a COVID
it wasn't
thing.
It wasn't that, but it was, I don't remember, but it was like, it was similar, I think. Maybe it wasn't attached to wins and losses, but it was something along those lines. But this is a good marketing thing to do. Yeah. I would do it as well. It's pretty awesome. You know, just to be like, hey, listen, I'll buy a ticket. Maybe I'll get to see 3 games out of this deal. Because usually, you know, if you're, especially if you're not a bad football team, you're usually going to win those first couple of early home games.
Well, I would assume Memphis is going to beat Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah, so at least you're going to be able to go see them play Navy, and Navy's under a new head coach.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're expected
to be
very
good. That's a possibility. I think
so you might be able to get 3 games out of it for $60.
And then I think after that, it's I was looking earlier, but I've lost my page. I think it was Boise State after that.
There you go. Keep going. So, it's 60 is a little, probably a little pricey for Memphis Tigers football, but it may not be. I don't know. I haven't been to a Memphis Tigers football game.
Well, or just inflation. I mean, it seems kind of reasonable for a college football game sometimes. I mean, depending on where the seat is.
Sure. So, sounds good.
But yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
That would be fun.
Yeah. All right, what's the bad of the day?
For the sake of NFL humanity, Tony.
Yes.
Craig Carton spilled a rumor of the Super Bowl halftime show. And I'm hoping this is just a rumor. This isn't factual. That this is there's no meat to this rumor, okay?
Okay, so the Super Bowl is going to be held in Las Vegas.
Right. But he heard that the NFL is considering an all-boy band performance.
Oh!
So it would feature NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, Boys to Men, 98 Degrees, Bell Biv DeVoe, Color Me Bad, and possibly a K-pop group.
Oh my goodness, you just listed seven groups.
Yeah.
For a halftime show. And all getting a little piece of the
pie. I mean, it was, everyone kind of knew there were two front runners. There was Lizzo, but you know, there's so much controversy with Lizzo now that, and I don't think that would have made for a good show anyways.
No.
You know, I think limited what's the word I'm looking for? Record really, you know, songs, I guess.
Okay.
Song catalog. That's what word I'm looking for. Limited catalog. I don't think she's been around long enough to warrant a halftime show. And the other one was Taylor Swift. Now Taylor Swift would be awesome, but she apparently is too big for the NFL.
Right. She's like, I don't know.
She's like, guys, I broke Ticketmaster. I don't need you.
Right. Plus, I don't want to. Yeah. We're not paying to do it either because the NFL's now charging for you to do this. So it's like, we're not doing that.
I don't know if we would. I don't. How would we respond to an all boy band halftime show? It's Vegas. Don't you got to do something glitzy and glamorous?
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think. What every Vegas like lounge act?
I'm not
saying
you know, but I'm not saying
who's in Vegas that you could you do Celine Dion? Is she still in Vegas? I doubt
it. Is she still alive?
Is Carrie Underwood still in Vegas? I think she's doing something in Vegas.
I thought Celine died.
I don't know. Did she die? Did Celine Dion die?
No, she's not dead yet.
Oh, I was going to say, wow, I thought that would be big news.
No, she has that weird disease that's making her skinny.
Oh, okay.
Like she,
by the
you
way,
know, she can't.
I see Celine Dion in Vegas. It probably happened 20 years ago. I don't know. I probably
forgot. Oh, she probably still has a show.
You think so? Probably still does.
Doesn't Elton still have there?
Who?
Elton John?
Elton John? Does he have a show in Vegas?
I thought he did for a while.
Wow, okay. No, I did not know that.
But here, listen, I'm not saying go out and get Wayne Newton.
No.
All right? I'm not saying that at all, Vegas. And I'm not saying, well, you can't go get Tony Bennett. He did die.
Yeah. is there any bands from Vegas? Is there any rock bands?
Oh, I'm sure. But I mean, like, you know, it's like the home of the mystical. If there's
but you don't
not
have
a,
to do that. You
if
don't
there's
have to.
Not a magic act in the halftime show, then we're doing it wrong.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Then Vegas can never have the halftime show again.
Yeah.
Gonna get like Chris Angel.
Maybe a little Chris Angel. Yeah.
Don't get David Blaine. He's too boring.
No, I don't want to see him like. Plus, the halftime show is too long for you to be in ice.
Right.
It's too. You know, I don't need. No, you don't need to be suspended in an ice cube.
Just have Chris Angel walk across. You know, Allegiant Stadium.
Yeah.
Just have him do that. But you know, but I think you could do like you know Cirque du Soleil. I mean, there's got to be a lot of involvement. Got to make it Vegas-y.
Yeah.
You know, boy bands, didn't we do that once before? I mean, NSYNC's been on it. Backstreet Boys, I think, have performed. That's good enough. They're done.
That's all
you
need.
We need it again.
That's right.
Yeah, maybe. Get a rock band. I don't know.
Yeah, is he just throwing that out there as a rumor? Like, I heard from a friend of mine who's inside the NFL, wink, wink. Maybe he just threw it out there just to see what people would say.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping he threw it out there for clout, for the clicks. And I'm just hoping, like, he's like, hey, I heard a rumor. Boy bands. Because people are going to be in uproar over boy bands. You'll get, you know, people will chime in and be like, I can't stand the NFL's ruining. That's why I don't watch the NFL anymore.
So, was it Rihanna last year, right?
Rihanna was last year.
And then it was Dr. Dre and Eminem and Snoop.
Yeah.
That
and
was
I
the
really,
before
I mean,
that.
And Rihanna's was good.
Rihanna's was good.
But, you know, the Dr. Dre, the Dr. Dre, Eminem, Snoop Dogg. I mean, that one actually I thought was really good.
I thought it was good. I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
And a lot
the
of
the year
times,
before that was The Weeknd.
The
Hall of Mirrors.
He did the mirror thing, yeah. Most of the time, I'm not as big on like here's the way I like watching people's reaction to the halftime show. I don't really care if the halftime show is good or bad. I'm one of those people that's like, I can't believe how bad this was. I'm like, yeah, I don't like, I listen, I remember when it was Up with People. Okay. Like, right. Like that's how far back I go watching this Super Bowl, when it was just that and, you know,
and the guy rocketing around in a space suit.
That was it. So like, to me, halftime shows are hard because you're doing a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. It takes a lot of setup. Sometimes they nail it. Sometimes they don't. I don't think it ever has killed a career or enhanced a career. I don't think Katy Perry or anybody else that's ever done it is like, that was the worst decision I ever made.
Oh, she exploded, Tony.
Yeah, you know. I mean, so I don't think it's the be-all, end-all. But I will say, I think you do need to nail it because there is a percentage of your audience that's really not interested in the game. They're there for the party. They're there for the commercials. They're there to rub, you know, be in a social setting. And they do care about the halftime show.
Yeah.
Like, when they say 160 million people watch the Super Bowl, that's not 160 die-hard NFL, I know, cover two. That's not that many people. That's not a total of people. A lot of people are judged by that because they had 20 people at a party and 11 of them were really into the game, right? Where a lot of people are like, oh no, I just like the commercials and this football and we're eating snacks and cool food and talking and having a good time. And oh yeah, the halftime show. So, but boy bands, I don't think would work. When I was on my vacation on the cruise ship, they had a boy band quartet. They did songs from all the way back to like the Jackson 5 and Frankie Valli and Four Seasons. Like, all of that, that was kind of fun. That was kind of neat. But I can't imagine bringing all of those groups back at their age.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't want you to go full Vegas, you know.
Yeah.
Like you said, lounge singer. Yeah, I don't need that.
Do I need New Kids on the Block to be up on stage going, okay, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to go sit. For a second.
One of them hit the inhaler on the side.
They're all in their 50s.
Which, I mean, you know, I listen to the boy bands. I mean, really, I mean, outside, you know, the only one I think I'd be interested in seeing just for the sheer irony of it all would be Color Me Bad.
Yeah, right.
Because I have not heard of them since, you know, they were a thing in the 90s.
Like, wasn't Belle Biv DeVoe, weren't they in just like an ad recently? They're old men.
I don't know. Yeah. I think you're thinking of It Is.
Yeah. I'm sorry. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry.
Tag team or whatever.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking of something else. But yeah, but they are. We're talking 30 plus years ago.
They should.
For some of these groups.
Belle Biv DeVoe should do a Geico ad and, you know, sing their song Poison.
Uh huh. That's right. All right. We'll continue. It's Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb. Just did the good, did the bad. Now it's time for the dumb as we continue on Sportsnap Radio. What do we got?
Well, you know, since it is a Wednesday, we got dumbs of the day.
Oh, plenty. Okay, good.
We got a plethora of dumbs.
Okay.
Actually, a plethora means two in this house.
Gotcha.
First dumb of the day is that many scientists are waiting by the space phone today, Tony.
Is that because India landed something on the moon?
No. They're expecting a phone call from aliens.
Alien? Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Apparently, we sent a beam out 40 years ago around this time and depicting, it was like 13, it was radio waves of 13 images of evolution on Earth.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why today, but today is the day that the aliens are supposed to return our call.
So they pegged it to the exact day?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, a Japanese scientist said that today will be the day if they're getting a phone call from the nearest one, which I can't remember the name of. It was like Alpha something or whatever. I always grew up knowing it was Alpha Centauri, and then they changed it up on me.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. Was it Alpha Centauri? I was supposed to be the nearest star.
I thought so.
And then they changed it to something else. But whatever the nearest star is called now, that's the one that they're expecting some sort of phone call, quote unquote. And here's why it's dumb, Tony. Don't they know our aliens are already here?
Yeah, they're already walking around.
Yeah.
So why don't they just,
why pick up the phone? Call. Just go outside and go, hey, listen, did you get our message?
Do you remember the movie Contact?
Of course.
Jodie Foster.
Yes.
Now, okay, for a guy that's not, I'm not a scientist, and I'm not Neil deGrasse Tyson, where I can nitpick the scientific details of a movie. Just as I'm a layman, I thought that was the smartest movie I've seen in a while when it came to this topic. Because remember when they got the message from the aliens and it was Hitler? And like people in the room were like, that's what they send us? One of the worst dictators of all time? And it was a scientist that went, wait. This was the first international radio wave that went to space on television. They're just sending it back.
Yeah.
Like, they're not sending us Hitler because they like what Hitler said.
Yeah, they have no clue.
Like, they were like, so it was really cool. Like, it was really neat. Like, yeah, that's what they would send back, the first television sort of waves that went into outer space. That went like satellite signal or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
I always thought that was smart.
The only problem I have with Twister, and I liked all the buildup, you know, okay, they finally figured it out. You know, then there's, you know, I like the idea that there's a private billionaire funding everything,
right,
that no,
yeah,
one knows about.
Build
it's kind of a reckless. Right? The thing where it got me was when she did finally travel to space and the aliens chose to be her father.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
Then it was just like, we went with a form we thought you'd be most comfortable with. And we're like, what? And then all of a sudden it crossed that line. It's like, all right, am I watching, is this alien activity? Are we now diving into theology? Was she contacted by heaven and she went to heaven? I don't know.
Yeah, that was a little, you're right. They could have tidied that up a little bit.
But everything else, with Contact, I don't know, you remember the actor Jake Busey?
I mean,
yeah, he's still alive.
Kind of lunatic,
yeah,
guy. That
there, it's an image in that movie that still, like, it almost haunts me today. And it's right before they blow up the one,
right,
that, you know, the one that they, you know, the one spaceship that they blow up, and he looks at the camera and he's got like the long blonde, almost whitish hair and just black eyes.
Yeah.
And he looks at the, you know, he looked at the camera when they captured the image, and that's when you're like, oh my god, get him on, you know, abort. I don't know why that image always like burned a spot in my skull, in my brain. It just haunts me. It's like, it's just the most creepiest photo I think I've seen.
My favorite line is when he says, why have one when you can have two at twice the price?
Yeah.
When it comes to government spending, why have one when two at twice? I was like, yeah, that's smart. All right. What's the second dumb of the day?
Tony, you knew it was coming.
Right?
We've talked about this before. But it was a rumor. It wasn't a reality. But now we can pencil it into the reality. Fyre Festival 2 is officially happening.
What is this about? Seriously, what is this about?
It's officially happening. In fact, it's happening so much that...
Okay, what is this about?
Fyre Festival 2?
Yeah, I know what it is, but tell me.
Billy McFarland, he took to social media yesterday and gave out a long thought-out thing about how he wrote out the 50-page plan of how it would take this overall interest of his and getting Fyre Festival off the ground once again.
Okay.
He did this in solitary confinement, by the way.
Okay, so again, Fyre Festival 1, one of the greatest failures in all of concert
history. In recorded
history. Right? It was the documentaries that, if you haven't seen one, there's one on Hulu, there's one on Netflix, watch it. It's hysterical. You'll laugh all the way through it at all these rich kids arriving on soaked mattresses on school buses to luxury villas where they thought that they were going to be partying with supermodels and music stars, and instead got cheese sandwiches and
some lettuce.
Nothing. It was like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
And the guy that was behind it went to jail.
Billy McFarland.
Right. Billy McFarland went to jail. Now he's trying to do this again.
Well, I guess he learned from his mistakes. So they're trying to target Fyre Festival 2 for the end of next year. Now, here's the deal, Tony. All right. The $500 tickets sold out.
Sold out?
They're already sold out.
Is he just saying that, or does he have evidence for that?
Yes.
Because anything Billy McFarland says, I would say, buy this for a second. Because what you're doing is, if you're trying to get your reputation back, you would say all of the expensive VIP tickets have been sold out.
Right.
Because what you're tapping into is why Fyre Festival was so initially successful in terms of getting people's response to it was there was a FOMO. situation going on
yep.
with the elite young people.
And he's tapping, you know what? I think you're 100% correct because I believe he's probably tapping into that again. Because here's the deal. That was the initial, there was only 100 $500 tickets.
Right.
And those sold out like within the first day, first 24 hours of him like announcing this. The future tickets are yet to be released, but that'll cost you anywhere from $800 to $8,000.
Right, sure, exactly. And now, he'll say that they're going fast, you only have 24 hours to get these, etc. Like, look, the one part of his empire after Fyre Festival that really drove me crazy was when he was trying to sell the same people that went to Fyre Festival were getting emails on Met Gala tickets,
yeah.
Taylor Swift meet and greets, lunch with LeBron. None of these existed. You don't buy Met tickets are not on sale. Met Gala tickets are not on sale. Taylor Swift does not do meet and greets. And yet he was selling them to gullible kids who had mom and dad's money and they were buying it up and they still didn't learn a lesson from Fyre Festival. So they're not going to learn a lesson here. There's going to be ultimate fear that he pulls this off and they didn't go.
And they missed out on the biggest right. party of the year.
Exactly. Like, I didn't know. One of the reasons I found the documentary funny was because I didn't see victims anywhere. Except the people that worked their tails off and didn't get paid.
Right.
Those were the only victims. That, and then getting by.
No, you didn't feel bad for the rich kid. It was
I'm eating a cheese sandwich. I got my dad's lawyer. Good, but I don't care where that goes. Pay the catering woman who put her life savings into this and lost it, and Billy McFarlane didn't give her any money. And she ended up, it was like a GoFundMe set up, and she made all her money back and then some.
Yeah, what I love this one ex-user. She said, convicted con artist officially announced Fyre Festival 2, set to take place in the Caribbean sometime at the end of 2024. That's also not accurate.
Yeah.
Because it could be the Middle East, or
it could be
came out and said it could be the Middle East. It could be South America. Most likely, it's going to be the Caribbean because you know, I got to nail it there because I didn't nail it the first time.
Oh, they bought the island. Remember they said we bought Pablo Escobar's island, and they said you can't say Pablo Escobar, and that's the first thing they said to people when they advertised Fyre Festival.
So the. So tickets, like she's pointing out the absurdity of this. The tickets are on sale for the specific dates, location, and festival lineup have not been revealed.
Of course not. Like, here's the other
So
thing
buy
too.
All the tickets. I mean, you know what? You know what's going to happen? He's going to, the $500 tickets are gone. There was such a huge demand, Tony. The $500 tickets were all snatched up in 24 hours. I got to make another release. I'm just going to go ahead and put out the $800 to $8,000 tickets. And I promise you they're going to sell.
Well, yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking they will because there will be a bunch of people who will do it anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
but I don't know because, again, it's just like when you see a TV, they go, we're only doing this for the next 15 minutes. Call now, 15 minutes, operator standing by. You can call that number 3 days from now and you'll still get the same deal. Like, there is a salesman snake oil angle to this guy.
Oh yeah,
you can't just believe it. Like when he says it's sold out, you can't just go, well, there are people who bought tickets. He could say it and nobody's gonna, like, you don't have to produce evidence that exists. There's nobody it's not a court of law. He doesn't have to show you the records. He can just go, they're sold out.
Apparently one couple's already spent $550 each.
Yeah, sure, there's always gonna be people. There's always suckers all the time. Good. I hope more rich people lose their money following this clown, and I hope he goes to jail again. All right, we'll come back. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Colbert continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Colbert.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Colbert, that's Ron with two N's, or X. Whatever you want to use it, whatever you want to call it, you can hit us up there. The Raiders are a team we're previewing today. We will talk the Jonathan Taylor situation. That is going to come up in hour number three. We will be talking to Angela Moran, WISH-TV, on Jonathan Taylor, which I find very interesting, given that I don't know which direction the Colts are really going with this. As I was saying earlier, there's two ways to look at this. One, Jonathan Taylor is going to be able to seek a trade. There'll be teams that will be wanting to trade for him. But what would they give the Colts for him? They're not going to give him a first-round pick. That's silly. Would anybody even give a second-round pick? I doubt it. Maybe a third or maybe a fourth, a combination. But what if no team is interested in getting into the Jonathan Taylor sweepstakes because we know there's a contract that he wants and he could be problematic because he may want X and we're only going to give Y? I don't know. We don't need them. But there's going to be interested teams. But the Colts could also play off of that interest in saying, well, we do want this. And the other teams go, no. And then all of a sudden, Jonathan Taylor is back with the Colts. And he's on the Colts because the Indianapolis Colts don't want to get rid of him. Now, I don't think that's going to happen, but there's a possibility that will happen. I think when this team says you're free to seek out a trade, and it's likely going to land somewhere. Some team is going to go, oh, all right, we'll throw in an extra third-round pick. Let's see what happens. And we could use them this year. If you're Buffalo, it would really elevate your run game with the absence of Devin Singletary, who's moved on. If you're Miami, it adds to your backfield with Raheem Mostert. If you're Dallas, you can pair him up with Tony Pollard, another 1-2 combination out of the backfield. If you do like Deuce Vaughn, and it appears like every preseason game that's clicking, people are liking Deuce Vaughn. Remember, he's the story. His father was the one that called him up to tell him he was being drafted by the Cowboys. It was one of that feel-good stories in April. Well, he's doing really good things on the field. So there's plenty of teams that would be interested in Jonathan Taylor. The question is, what are those teams willing to give up for a guy that is coming off an ankle injury, limited to like 11 games last year, despite that 2 years ago he rushed for over 1,800 yards? He is a workhorse back, and he can carry the ball a lot. He can be your primary back. If you want to split him with somebody else, that's great. But if you're looking for a lone back that can take a lot of carries, he's also a guy that can do that. He's got a tremendous amount of talent. But again, it goes to the larger picture that we've been talking about, which is this is a position that has been so devalued, even though if you went to any coach in the NFL, they would tell you how important the running game is, right? Because it's almost like one of those things nobody really wants to admit. That maybe you can just get kind of the production out of some other people. No, they'll tell you how important it is. We want to run the ball. We want to, you know, sustain drives, keep it on the ground. We get it, right? But you're not valuing the position that much. When teams talk about how important it is to have pass rushers, right? You've got to get to the quarterback in this league. They pay pass rushers well. When they talk about wide receivers, you know, you got to have dynamic wide receivers that can go up and get the ball and make plays. They pay wide receivers very well. We already know about quarterbacks. When everyone talks about you need a good offensive line to, you know, help protect the quarterback and move the, you know, help the running back move the football forward, they pay good offensive linemen well. But when coaches talk about, hey, we love to establish the run. We'd love to be a running team. We'd love to be able to have a mix of run and pass. We'd love to keep defenses on their toes. We'd love to keep sustained drives and keep the time of possession in our favor. But when it's time to pay the running backs to do that, there's no one's doing that because it's not a position where you get better with age. You get better as a lineman with age. You get better as a quarterback with age. There are a number of positions in the NFL where the more experience you have, the more seasoned you have, you're going to get better. Right? Pass rushing is perfect. You got guys coming in this league, Aiden Hutchinson, for example, that can do good things. J.J. Watt did good things early. But you also see their development as they get older. They get a couple more years under their belt, and they get more seasoned. And they know how to get rid of that one arm that's positioned this way, and they know how to dodge this, and they learn the offensive line, and they know those players, and they know what their tendencies are, and how low they'll get in blocking, and everything like that. They get better and better and better. Running back is, here's the ball, go to the hole, try to get as many yards as you can. And oh, by the way, if you're 27, that's very unlikely that you'll be as good as you were 5 years ago. So why don't we find somebody who's 5 years younger than you? And that's how they do it. And what you have to be in this league is a unicorn, right? You have to be a Christian McCaffrey. You have to be a guy that can catch passes and go downfield. I mean, there's a whole bunch of reasons Christian McCaffrey is paid $16 million a year because he's not just a guy carrying it out of the backfield. So that's the situation with Jonathan Taylor. We'll discuss that in the hour number three. So you've been following the Little League World Series?
Somewhat. I've been following one team in particular.
Which is?
Needville.
Needville? Where are they? Where are they from?
They're from right here in Houston, outside of Houston.
It's, so are they doing well?
They are. They're in the semifinals right now.
Okay. Have you heard the story of the Cuban Little League coach?
I did.
Okay, so the Cuban Little League coach is missing. Jose Pereira.
All right, now, real quick.
Yes.
Did you do air quotes just then? When you said missing.
Yeah, it's implied. So Jose Pereira, the coach, is missing at the Little League World Series. So they showed up, and the coach went missing. So basically, I have one thing to say to Jose Pereira if you're out there. Welcome to America!
Yep.
Hope you enjoy it. Hope you enjoy our great country. Hope you find a place to settle down. Hope you enjoy all the festivities that we have here, all the fast food restaurants, the big strip malls.
What was his last name again?
Jose Pereira.
Pereira.
Perez.
So,
I'm sorry.
Perez.
I thought it was Pereira, but it was Perez.
So what we should say, welcome to America, Joe
Steve
Perry.
Steve Jones.
No, Joe Perry?
Joe Perry, yeah. Joe Perry.
I mean, you know, it's pick a favorite. Pick that name. We know there's a famous Joe Perry out there.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. You know, I mean, they'll just think, oh, yeah, we share the same name.
Exactly. This is the first ever trip to the Little League World Series by a Cuban team. No kidding, because I think this would have happened before.
Is it the last?
Yeah, it's probably going to be the last. But prior to Perez's disappearance on Saturday, the Cuban Baseball Federation and Little League extended their relationship to 2025. I bet that comes to a crashing halt.
Well, okay. You know, when I saw the story, I thought us and Cuba were friends again.
No.
Are we still not friends?
No.
Letting Cuban baseball players in here.
No, I mean, they had a relationship. Like, baseball went down there. Remember, yeah. It was like a big deal. But no, we're not like...
We're not buddies.
They're not a democracy. They're not an ally.
Are people still coming in over on boats? And
yeah.
Are they okay?
Sure. Well, it was because Fidel Castro died.
Yeah, I thought, you know, since
they just kept it rolling.
Didn't Good Morning America or the Today Show broadcast from Cuba?
Oh, they'll let you in.
Because I remember seeing a country stopped in the 1950s because of all the cars and the way they handle life and stuff. I thought, you know, hey, didn't we offer aid to them when a hurricane blew their country away?
So we're not enemies in that we don't want their citizens to die in tragic. But we're not political friends.
So if Russia starts to get a little more uglier, are they going to seek out Cuba and go, hey, guys, yeah, you remember that thing in the 60s? Let's do that again.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're not political friends. But we would absolutely want to help their citizens. And you know, if there's a hurricane, we don't go, oh, we'll just let them die.
Yeah, just take care of
Haiti's not a democracy, but that earthquake, we flooded that country with help. You know, that's a horrible dictatorship down there. And we went in there and helped.
So Joe Perry is running around somewhere in Pennsylvania.
Okay, a couple of things here. Let's go to the Ron Culver School of Logic now. So if we're good friends with Cuba, then Jose Perez is missing for some ominous reason.
Right. That's you know.
So if we're good friends with Cuba, we can just come and go as we please.
What, okay.
Somebody got to Jose Pereira,
but now he's
missing for ominous reasons, rather than the universal reaction that he defected to the United States.
See, I just thought defection was done with. I thought we were, you know, I thought that was like an 80s thing. Maybe, you know, spilled it a little bit into the 90s. But, you know, we're in the 21st century now, and we don't need to defect anymore.
Right. Well,
we just find illegal ways to obtain citizenship.
Right. So, yeah, no. Now he's got to figure out where to go.
Well, like, I mean, this isn't like, you know, if they defect, and because we had this policy with Cuba. I remember reading about this. We had this policy with Cuba that he's pretty much an American citizen already, right? We just hand him a piece of paper and go, hey, sign here. You're good to go.
I'm not an immigration lawyer by any means, but I think you end up declaring asylum.
Yeah.
You are on the land. You claim political asylum, and then you got to go through the process. So,
what do you think the kids think?
Kids are like, they probably don't know what, like, they're probably not aware.
Yeah, the parents are sitting there like, oh, shoots, we were supposed to go out for drinks with them tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what it was for.
Shoot. Now they don't have a coach. Yeah. Meanwhile, he's He's hanging out in South Beach, chilling. Good for him.
I don't think he's made it down there that far yet.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe he had it all organized from the very beginning.